It's Light the Tower.
Say goodnight to this one.
Your daily look around the world of sports with Horns 24/7 insider Jeff Howe on your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Light it up on a Thursday. Thursday edition of Light the Tower on the Horn. Live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, we just thank you so incredibly much for being a part of today's presentation. I am Jeff Howe. Craig is out today. We will get to that here in just a second, why we have lost our way without Craig Way. We'll get to that, like I said, momentarily. Set the table for the show. A couple of Longhorn notebooks, Inconceivable. Want to keep talking a little Dallas Cowboys, looking into the offseason. I was kind of waiting for Craig to get back to do this, but I'll set the table for today. A little baseball Hall of Fame projection going on right now. And, we do have a seam head behind the glass. He is our producer extraordinaire, twisting and tweaking back there. The publisher, curator, otherwise major domo of everything Flex ATX. FlexATX.com, at FLXATX on Twitter and Instagram. He's the great Snoop Daniel. Snoop, first off, how are you this morning?
Great. I do love baseball. I really do.
And I want to get your take on some Hall of Fame stuff. Second off, because you are a seam head, a self-proclaimed.
I do not like that word.
A seam head? That just means you love you some baseball.
Yeah.
When you're not poning noobs on MLB The Show, you love following baseball. Even though you do every year pick the Rangers to win the AL West, and it just never.
They are winning it this year.
Hasn't worked out.
2022.
Well, you know what? With their offseason moves, you might actually be on to something this year. So I'm not going to completely throw you under the bus for that. But second of all, how was the flex last night?
It's good. Talked hoops, talked football. And had Will Matthews on the show at 7:30, which is Craig's on-the-field correspondent for the football game.
Sideline reporter.
Yeah. Sideline, that's the word.
You got Craig and Roger in the booth, and you got Will down on the sideline doing his thing.
And I told him, like, he's following some great footsteps from Rod Babers to Quan Cosby. And I told him that I wish him, the best of luck over what could be like a decade or more run.
Snoop,
he's good at it.
Specs text line 337-3776. Snoop, there's a texter that keeps texting in and wants to know how to meet you. He thinks what you do at the Flex is awesome and you guys are great. So he wants to meet you, so you might take care of that on the Specs text line. Text line is open, by the way. If you want to meet Snoop, you might have to do it on his terms, which could be any and everywhere across our fair burg. Hey, real quick, before we get into it, and we'll talk Longhorn football bottom of each hour in our Longhorn notebooks. Also, a little bit of Longhorn basketball recruiting stuff to get into. Our updated 24/7 Sports in-house rankings were updated today. Some big jumps for the two Texas signees and the one verbal commitment for Chris Beard in the 2022 class. Got transfer portal stuff to talk about with football, so a lot of Longhorn talk, and I do want to talk Cowboys. But Snoop, what is the high school basketball? This is boys and girls.
Yes.
Because for the boys scene, I've been following it. I mean, when I was first coming into sports consciousness and understood kind of what I was watching, what I was following, Lance Hughes at Georgetown, Tony Watson at Pflugerville, obviously Ray Jackson at LBJ.
That's my boy.
Those were the guys coming up, and then all the way through, my time following it through high school, Brad Buckman at Westlake was a McDonald's All-American. Then you get into like the A.J. Abrams, Curtis Gerald,
McNeil,
Marshall Brown years, and all the way on. Kyle, where is the high school hoop scene in the greater Austin area right now?
It's less top-end goatee. Like, there's not a lot of D1.
So not a Ray Jackson, not a Greg Brown, Jared Allen.
No. There's some good players. Like, Malik Presley down at San Marcos is a highly recruited guy, D1 offers, mm-hmm. et cetera. But there's solid programs here. So
okay.
You might not have the Greg Brown, but you got a lot of teams that, I mean, can upset like a Dallas or Houston school.
Purple Buffalo's daddy, thank you for chiming in. Don't hear from you often enough, and I mean that with all due respect. Says Snoop, come to Gerald for some hoops. We will take care of you. Go Cougs. I don't know, Snoop. You're gonna avoid the Rat P gym, which is a plus. I know Gerald is a great place to stop and use a bathroom because that's pretty much the only thing I use Gerald for. Other than that, it's at your own risk.
Or I might come out because they
are Rat P Gym. Good public restrooms. Nice place to stop off and take a dump.
They're like a basketball school.
All right, so we've kind of belabored the point long enough. Text her point blank. Where's Craig and when will he be back? Craig is out today. As you know, he really had to power through the show on Tuesday, the 1 hour that he was here. He powered through the men's game Tuesday night against K-State. We did not get Craig yesterday. He did not call the women's game yesterday. A big upset for Vic Schaefer and the Texas women over Iowa State on the road. Craig did not call that game. Dave Garrett did. Craig is, I'm not going to put all of Craig's business out there. He is working to get better. He wants to be back, but his health comes first. He is
resting.
I don't even want to, he's resting.
Get some rest. That man runs 24/7, 365.
I don't even want to say tentatively scheduled to do Longhorn Weekly tonight. He's hoping to do Longhorn Weekly tonight with Chris Beard. Roger Wallace is on standby. Our plan tentatively is for Craig to be back tomorrow. That's why we have moved our weekly conversation with Vic Schaefer. Normally, you would be hearing that right now because Vic Schaefer, we'll hear in a couple of minutes, Vic Schaefer joins us at 10:10 on Thursdays. We have moved our Vic Schaefer conversation to tomorrow with the thought that Craig will be back in-house tomorrow. So, no, you got Craig for an hour on Tuesday. You got it for the men's game Tuesday. No Craig yesterday. No Craig today. But we are hoping to get a close to 100% Seaway back in the house tomorrow. Snoop, how do you feel with Craig being out? Does it make you feel more whole when the three of us are in here?
Yeah, of course. And you know, he's Craig way. I mean,
you don't feel like that when I'm out though, right?
No, I do. I like it when you are here. Like, I'd rather it be all three. I'm going to be here every day, knock on wood, regardless. So,
we had the bit, and Police Chief Cantu, we're still going to do this. We're going to get Mustang Ridge's finest to do a tasing exhibition. I really want to see this done. I have seen somebody get tased before. Snoop has not. We've got that Bob Cole audio on standby, as always. But Police Chief Cantu said hopefully he'll meet Snoop when he gets tased later in the fall.
Who, me? No, heck no. Snoop, no. Snoop, I love peace.
No, heck no.
I'm not doing nothing to get tased. I'm throwing up two peace signs. I already know, like, if I think, like, for some reason I was going to get into, I don't know, some, not altercate, I would never altercate with the police, but I would just be like, Gandhi. I would turn into Gandhi. Don't tase me, bro.
Snoop, you'd be very compliant is what you're saying. No, yes, Police Chief Cantu, that wasn't part of the bit. Snoop wants to watch. He doesn't want to be the subject getting tased.
We said we're going to have somebody do a live read and then tase them in the middle of it.
Or like read audio, we'll read a press release or something or a book excerpt or we'll figure it out. And then just a sudden, like, that's almost worse. You don't know when it's coming. Right.
You know, like, it's going to come somewhere in the 60 seconds. So start the library.
Like, think about it, Snoop. Like, Snoop, for those of you who don't know, Snoop hates getting shots. Like, is that your biggest fear in life?
I don't like being poked.
So, like, but when you go get, like, a flu shot or your COVID vaccine or whatever you're getting poked with, like, you know when it's coming. You know it's going to be rough, but you know when it's coming. Imagine that shot, but you don't know when it's happening. You're just sitting there in the chair looking straight ahead, and you don't know when it's coming. Can you imagine, like, the fear that would come over you? All the anxiety build up inside you? Now imagine that's a taser. Like, Snoop's back there doing a live read for somebody, and then, bam, just gets hit. Yeah. Bob Cole style with the taser.
Tom McKay and A.B. Let Tom McKay and... No, that's... nice. Okay, I'm done.
How about we let Tom McKay tase you?
No. Tom McKay is nice to me. I want him to continue to be
Tom
nice.
McKay is a great man, by the way. I don't know if we offered Tom if he could tase somebody.
And I can't say a dog because I got jumped for that. I was trying to not say a human, but a dog either. So tase a ant.
Good Lord, man. This is why I love the Specs text line. It says, taser, go with God, man. I've been tased 3 times and I'll cuff myself. I don't even want to hear people get tased. What do you have to do to get tased 3 times, man? Most people, the one person I know who has been tased once was enough for them. They pretty much had it after that. But all right, well, that's enough of the taser talk. So hopefully we get Craig back tomorrow. Snoop, I'm feeling great today, and I'll tell you why. Anybody that listens to this show, I've been dealing with allergies for months now. And with the Omicron variant, COVID spreading, you know, it's hard to get a doctor's appointment right now. So I've had to, and it just hasn't worked out and whatever. And I know I got sick a couple of weeks ago with the allergy issues, but I've been waiting to get an appointment to where I could get a steroid shot for the allergies, because I've got to just get all of this cleared up. Like I've told you, Snoop, when I wake up in the morning with all the pollen that's been in the air, it feels like my nose and the back of my throat, my chest just coated with pollen when I wake up every day. It's terrible. Any over-the-counter stuff, it helps, but it's not a remedy. I got a shot right in the buttocks, my left cheek, yesterday. Went to the thank you, by the way, shout out to the fine staff at Total Men's for making that happen. Total Men's location in Kyle.
What did they shoot you with?
Just a steroid shot. Steroid shot right in the rump. And man, last night everything just cleared up. My wife was like, she's like, you got a shot of energy with that steroid shot. And I said, I have not felt this awake in months. Like, everything up in my head feels clear. I'm feeling good right now.
Awesome.
So we're going to have a good Thursday show. It's cold outside, but we'll warm you up with hard-hitting sports talk and whatever else we get. We got taser talk. And, by the way, one of your worst fears, I had to live yesterday, Snoop, to get the steroid shot. They had to give me a COVID test just to rule out, you know, being COVID positive with the allergy symptoms.
Terrible.
So I'm COVID negative.
Did you cry before you get that?
No. I've had. I got one right before New Year's. It was December 30th. Was my previous last COVID test. That's the worst one I've ever had. Just because I think the person that was giving it hadn't really given them before and didn't really know the process. This one was boom, over and done. So this COVID test was great, fine. Eyes watered a little bit, no big deal. We're on the second one though. It was the one I took previously. It was terrible. I guess it's a cortisone shot. I don't know what they put in those steroid shots. It's cortisone something. I don't know whatever they put in it. It's magic. It's greatness. They should just put that on the label. It's greatness. So I'm clear up. My head feels clear, chest, everything. So, man, I'm good to go. I did want to open up this show today. Again, we'll talk Longhorn football coming up at the bottom of the hour. I want to talk a little Texas defensive line. And now that Ben Davis is gone, well, Snoop, I don't know. Is Alfred Collins, to say your favorite Longhorn,
yes.
We joke about
Easy.
Ben Davis. But Alfred Collins, it goes beyond just saying he's your favorite Longhorn, right? Like is it say any Austin area high school football player that goes on to play at Texas? They're on like the Snoop Daniel Wall of Fame
list.
I saw
Alfred Collins when he was skinny.
Yeah, that was probably right around the time.
He was a freshman.
I remember hearing about him because he was just this big, lanky kid.
He
was a basketball player. And Snoop's already said that Alfred Collins is going to be a number one overall pick in the draft at some point.
I'm still going to stand by.
So, like, I don't know, a Brecken Hager, Cameron Dicker, Hudson Card. I'm trying to think of Austin area guys that are on the Texas roster right now.
Mason Ramirez, he's not there anymore, but
Ramirez, Round Rock. I guess Connor Robertson will be a part of that. Ethan Burke will be one of those guys.
If they let him play.
Oh, he'll play at some point. Yeah, he'll play. Maybe get a red shirt year this year. Or maybe he's just... That I'm telling you, man, that the edge positions for Texas are going to be really interesting. We'll talk about that when we talk about defensive line. But I do want to talk Cowboys. And, Snoop, I think we can say long-suffering Cowboys fans because, again, I was in the sixth grade the last time the Cowboys won a Super Bowl, which is also the last time they advanced to the NFC Championship game. So I'm on a quarter century now of being a long-suffering Cowboys fan. So I think I can apply that tag. DallasCowboys.com, Nick Eatman, who does a really good job covering the Cowboys for their in-house media. Looking at it, the Cowboys have a ton of free agents coming up this offseason. And now that everybody's, I don't know that Cowboys fans are over the loss, but as you process it now and you start looking forward to 2022 and salary cap implications, by the way, the Cowboys – are going to enter free agency. I think about $21 million over the cap, so they're going to have to restructure some deals, backload some things to get under the cap, which they've done that before, and there's language in Tyron Smith's contract and Zach Martin's contract. I don't think it's in the Zeke contract, but there's a lot of guys on this roster that have had their contracts restructured. RBKD, Rod and Kevin did a really good job breaking this down yesterday. You can go to the podcast page at hornfm.com to hear them talk more Cowboys. But Nick Eatman divided the Cowboys' 22 unrestricted free agents into four different groups. And I'll just start at the bottom because I think these are the kind of guys that, maybe they're back. If you can get them on the cheap, probably. But these are guys that are more likely going to be replaced by either draft picks, late-round draft picks, undrafted free agents, or street free agents. So, not a big deal. Francis Bernard, Maurice Kennedy, Luke Gifford, Jeremy Sprinkle, Corey Clement. Even though I like Corey Clement when he played against the Eagles JV squad at the end of the year, looked pretty nice. Those are guys that are easily replaceable. Solid contributors, Noah Brown, Ty Nsekhe, Malik Turner, Brent Urban, Carlos Watkins. Again, you're talking about backup players, rotational guys. Guys that, if they're back and they're on the cheap, great. If not, they're probably going to be replaced again. Street free agent, undrafted free agent, late round draft pick. This is where it really starts to get interesting. Guys that Nick, and again, this is Nick Eatman at DallasCowboys.com, guys that he considers starting material. All right, Snoop, you tell me if you think the Cowboys should make an effort to re-sign any of these guys, okay?
I'm Jarrah.
Put your GM hat on, which, by the way, I mean, Will McClay is basically the GM. He doesn't have the title, but, it is what it is. Dorrance Armstrong, yes or no?
Meh.
I think you could probably get him back on the cheap.
Right.
I don't think that's going to break the bank. Malik Hooker, took a flyer on him, ended up playing really well. Yes or no on Malik Hooker?
Yay.
I think it's going to depend on what kind of contract he gets. That's one that I think if it gets to a certain price point, I don't think the Cowboys, with their cap situation, should do that. Again, they found Malik Hooker on a scrap heap.
Yeah.
You can find another safety on the scrap heap.
He was dope at Ohio State.
DeMonte KZ.
Keep.
You're keeping DeMonte KZ? I look at that contract situation, but I don't think that's a bad move. Here's one that's interesting to me. DeMonte KZ, Ron Kazoo, as some people would call him. Keanu Neal, where are you at on Keanu Neal? I think this one is really dependent on Dan Quinn. If Dan Quinn is back, he had Keanu Neal in Atlanta, brought Keanu Neal in here. That's one that I don't know. If Dan Quinn is still here, they probably find a spot for Keanu Neal. If Dan Quinn is not the defensive coordinator in Dallas, Keanu Neal probably goes somewhere else. Where are you at on Keanu Neal, Snoop?
Former first-round pick. I mean, he's only 25, 26.
But I think that's scheme fit more than anything, man. I think that's a Dan Quinn deal. Dan Quinn's back. They probably effort to keep Keanu Neal. Well, I think that could be dependent on a guy I'm going to bring up here in just a second. Jake McQuay, the long snapper. Sure. Why not? I mean, if you man, long snappers are worth their weight in gold. If you find a good one that you don't have to worry about, then go ahead and keep him. Unless it gets to the point where, they're in terms of a veteran long snapper, if they're getting up there in years and you have a cap situation and you find an undrafted free agent that you get in camp that you really like, maybe at that point you make the switch. The Keanu Neal conversation is interesting because Leighton Vander Esch is also an unrestricted free agent. I don't know if Dan Quinn stays. I don't know that both of those guys are back. I think if Dan Quinn stays, it could be kind of a one or the other deal. And at that point, I think they would be more likely to bring back Keanu Neal, who functions as a linebacker. He's a hybrid player who functions like a linebacker. Vander Esch is a linebacker. I just don't, with the cap situation. And Vander Esch is interesting, though. Could he get a better deal in the open market? Maybe, but you've got a guy that, yes, he's coming off of his rookie deal. Man, he's already got a lot of wear and tear on him, pretty extensive injury history. Maybe this is just a real team-friendly deal if they bring him back. But if Dan Quinn's still in town, it's hard for me to see both those guys still being on the roster. A guy that I would love to see the Cowboys try to bring back, Snoop, Cedric Wilson. I would love to see them try to bring back Cedric Wilson.
You don't you don't put number one on your jersey if you aren't the ultimate confident. And I believe in that guy.
You know, wide receiver, this is why I haven't really worried about wide receiver with the transfer portal with Texas. That's the same way in the NFL. You can find good value wide receivers late in the draft. You can find good value in undrafted free agents. If you're Texas, you can go deep into the transfer portal and find your wide receiver. Wide receiver, it's the deepest position in football at the two highest levels in Power 5 football, and it's the deepest position in the NFL. That said, with a couple of moves we're going to talk about here in just a second, or one player in particular, I think it's worth bringing Cedric Wilson back. I don't think he's going to cost you that much. I don't think he's going to command that much money on the open market. The difference maker, Snoop, this is where the Cowboys have some really tough decisions to make with these. And actually, one I left out that skipped over him in terms of the starting material guys. I think if you get him on a very, very team-friendly deal, you bring him back. But at this point, I think it's more likely that he walks and signs somewhere else. That's Connor Williams. I know there's a lot of Cowboys fans down on Connor Williams. He started a lot of games for this franchise. I just think for what they are asking him to do, I don't know that that fits really what he is at this level. Like I said, I think ideally he is a swing guy. He is a really good guy. If you're a team that's really deep on the offensive line, I think you sign Connor Williams and you're not going to break the bank to sign him, whoever you are. I think you bring him in as your sixth offensive lineman, and if you have an injury, you shuffle the deck accordingly and you don't really worry about it. In other words, if he, with the situation the Cowboys are in right now on the offensive line, if you're of your starting five offensive linemen, is if he's your fifth best of the five, I don't think you worry about it. The problem is at this point, Connor Williams is not 5 of 5 for the Cowboys right now, given the other issues they've got on that line and potentially could have. We don't know what's going to happen with Tyron Smith. We don't know what's going to happen with Lyle Collins. Pretty much other than Zach Martin, I think everybody, every position should be up for discussion this offseason. I said that earlier this week. Snoop, You lean one way or the other on Connor Williams? I think Connor Williams is playing somewhere other than Dallas next year.
I like Longhorns on the Cowboys, and we don't have any others?
Longhorns on the Cowboys. I feel like I'm forgetting somebody.
That would stand out to me really quick if there were.
All right, let's go through the difference makers real quick, Snoop. You tell me, and keep in mind, the salary cap issues on top of how important some of these guys are to what the Cowboys do.
And full disclosure, Snoop Daniel only has fan opinions because I'm not very well educated.
That's what we're at the end of the day, Snoop, we're all fans.
Zay was so upset that I shouted out Lacone the other day.
Yeah, we'll get to that when we talk a little Texas basketball here later in the show. All right, Snoop. Brian Anger, all-pro punter. I think you bring him back.
Yeah.
J-Ron Curse. Rod Babers is a big J-Ron Curse
like
fan.
Him.
This is another kind of scrap heap find for the Cowboys, who ended up being maybe their best player in the secondary this year. I know Trayvon Diggs had the interception numbers, but if you just look at per-snap production, it probably was J-Ron Curse. I'm with you. I don't think the Cowboys bring this guy back, but his injury situation makes it, I think, worth discussing. That's Michael Gallup. With the ACL tear, does he try to just go cash in, and does he find a team that's willing to let him go through the rehab process, or does he take kind of a one-year prove-it kind of deal coming off the injury? That one, to me, is really interesting, and the Gallup situation really depends on that. That's going to have a really big say in what you do with Cedric Wilson, or maybe vice versa. Maybe you just feel like, hey, bring Cedric Wilson back. You've got CeeDee Lamb still on a rookie contract. Maybe at that point, you hang on to Amari Cooper for a little bit longer. There's no situation where Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup are back with the Cowboys next year. I don't see that happening.
Love Michael Gallup. Sad how he got hurt. He'd scoring a touchdown.
I mean, if he didn't get hurt, you'd be looking at him. He'd be one of the very top free agent wide receivers in the market this year, and he probably still will be. Dalton Schultz. I know Dalton Schultz gets the rap for not being a game breaker, but you know, I guess if you feel like you can upgrade, go ahead. But if you're going to move on from Dalton Schultz, you better have a plan on what you're doing at tight end to get somebody to complement Blake Jarwin if you're looking for a guy that can give you more juice in a vertical game.
I feel Dak trusts him, and that's why I like him.
All right, and then the big one, I think this is priority number one for the Cowboys. If they can get this done, great. Maybe for all the anguish and anger they've gone through hanging on to this guy. Maybe he gives them a little bit of a hometown discount. Maybe you can backload this deal to be a little more cap friendly. I think the Cowboys have to do whatever they can to re-sign Randy Gregory.
Without a doubt. Number one priority of people to bring back, if of people who are leaving.
So basically, where we're at, Snoop, in terms of the difference makers, Gallup is gone. Schultz, curse, and anger all back. Swing for the fences with Gregory. And then in terms of starting material, Armstrong, Kazee, one of Keanu Neal, Leighton Van Der Esch, Jake McQuaid, Cedric Wilson all back. Malik Hooker, Connor Williams for sure gone. Dorrance Armstrong is, I think we said Dorrance Armstrong is back, and then you get in solid contributors. Take your questions on the Specs text line. Anything else you want to add, Cowboys free agency? Snoop?
Like I said yesterday, I really like our team, and if we just came back the same, I think just with different fortune, we could be more fortunate. It's not very analytical, but
no, I do.
I loved our team this year.
I loved them. I just feel like, you know, the window, when you look at the NFL, the window for this team really was while Dak Prescott was on that rookie contract. Because, man, go look at the Seahawks when they built the Legion of Boom and they had Russell Wilson on a rookie contract. If you get a quarterback on a rookie deal, that's why the Patriots are in a really good position right now. That's why the Bengals are in a really good position right now. Man, if you got a quarterback, in theory the Chargers should be, if you got a quarterback that you trust to go win you games in the National Football League and you got him on a rookie quarterback, man, that gives you so much salary cap freedom that you can go build something around that quarterback to go win right now. That's why if you hit on that position in the draft, man, you got to strike while the iron's hot. Now you've got Dak Prescott, who's going to be, I think, a $40 million cap hit this year. You've got that terrible Zeke Elliott contract, like I said, $21 million over the cap. It's not a great position to be in if you're the Cowboys. It's not insurmountable. It's not like the Cowboys are going to just have a terrible roster from this year to the next. There is talent there, but they've got to make decisions on guys. And like I said, Dalton Schultz doesn't give you a lot of explosive playmaking juice. He has been kind of a security blanket type guy for Dak Prescott. If you're going to move on from him, though, you better dang well know what you're doing in terms of upgrading it. Are you going to take one in the draft? You earmark a draft? And that's the other thing for the Cowboys have to decide. Based on your free agency pool, where are you going to earmark draft picks? I've got to think offensive line's got to be a priority. If you lose Randy Gregory, do you suddenly have to now be in the market for an edge rusher? I think where they're going to draft at that point, it's best player available. If it's a tackle, if it's an edge rusher, you go with it. But it's a long offseason. We're getting into it, but I do plan on talking a little more Cowboys on this show as we move forward. Take a break, come back, talk Longhorn football coming up next in our first Longhorn Notebook of a Thursday show here on Light the Tower, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Craig Way, Jeff Howe, and Snoop Daniel light the tower.
No Craig Way today, Craig, on the mend, recovering. That's why we got Silk the Shocker bringing us back from break. Where were you at on No Limit back in the day, Snoop?
Love, 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 love No Limit.
Wasn't there like a No Limit reunion concert?
It didn't make it to Austin, half because of COVID and half I don't know, like they didn't sell enough tickets, but they were supposed to come to the Cedar Park HEB Center in Cedar Park, and
that's
never
what
made
I thought
it.
Yeah, never made it.
I would love to see that.
Was Mystical gonna be a part of that?
Damn, bro.
Mystical wasn't officially No Limit,
not,
right?
Not at the beginning.
It was like No Limit at Jace.
Correct. Well, you know, Mystical, he had that first album with The Man Right Here, etc. And then he hooked up with P probably halfway through his rise. And then he did something really stupid and wound up in jail.
He's on this track, by the way. Mystical is.
It ain't my fault. But he.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that.
That was stupid. But he's paid his debt to society and he's free again. But that was dumb of him. Stupid. Like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, throw that in your Google machine. We won't get into Mystical's legal problems, but we'll just throw that in your Google machine. It looks like
he's been adamantly, just as bad as it was, like, he's really trying to make it right, you know.
It looks like he's been out of the correctional system since December of 2020.
Yes.
So there you have it. All right, Snoop, let's get to the notebook. We got some news items.
Oh, it's Longhorn Notebook.
Okay, nice mystical segue into the notebook. A couple of quick updates. One, hey, Snoop, give me a breaking news sounder. I think this is fun. Gary Patterson. Now, we still don't have a press release from Texas. Still no official word in terms of a public declaration. But Gary Patterson. Snoop, you can see right here. I've got the image pulled up on my phone. This is the University of Texas staff directory.
Oh.
Gary Patterson's in the staff directory at the University of Texas with the job title of special assistant to the head coach. So Gary Patterson, we reported on Horns 24/7. He on Tuesday, he was in the process of getting his key card and ID, all that paperwork stuff filed away. So looks like Gary Patterson is officially, even though there's no public declaration on that.
You should screenshot and put a bunch of eye emojis.
No, because, you know, he was at the basketball game on Tuesday, and we got some quotes from him at Horns 24/7 if you want to go check that out. Chip Brown had a piece yesterday that I talked about in yesterday's Longhorn Notebook saying, and if you can go to the podcast page at hornfm.com and check that out, basically Gary Patterson saying he wants to be for Sark what Dick Tomey was for Mack Brown. I think if that's really how he's approaching it, this is a great hire. It was already going to be a good hire for a lot of reasons, but if that's really how Gary Patterson is approaching this, then that's going to be a home run, I think, for Texas and for Steve Sarkisian. So Gary Patterson, part of the staff. Isaiah Nayer, the transfer wide receiver from Wyoming. This is a guy that considered Texas initially when he transferred from Wyoming. Ends up committing to Tennessee and then started taking visits. Took a visit to Ole Miss. Took a visit to Texas yesterday. A couple of interesting tidbits. Tidbit number one was what my colleague Mike Roach posted at Horns 24/7 about a half hour ago. Talked to a source regarding Nayer who said they thought the visit went great. I'm reading verbatim from Mike's post on the flagship message board. Texas stated its case and showed Nayer what he wanted to see from a program fit and education standpoint. Now it's a waiting game as he looks to make his final decision. Mike did say it feels like Texas has some really good momentum there. Interesting also, thank you to the Horns 24/7 member who screenshotted this. Talking about screenshots in the notebook today. Apparently, Isaiah Nayer was in the University of Tennessee student directory. I guess was ready to enroll. Tennessee starts classes next week. Yeah, his status says left the University of Tennessee on January 1st, 2020. So, yeah, read into that what you will, but things looking good right now for Texas and Isaiah Nayer. And we talked about that receiver position. I can't say it enough, man. Texas needs to add as much potential firepower there as they can. You know what you've got with Xavier Worthy. You know what you've got with Jordan Whittington when he's healthy. That's been the big thing with Whittington, though, when he's healthy.
He's the expert. I'm sorry to interrupt your note, but I feel he could be elite.
He can and
elite,
and he is. And we even saw last year when he was on the field. If Steve Sarkisian has playmakers, he's going to get them the ball. There is going to be this no spreading the wealth or none of that. We saw it with Worthy. We saw it with Bijan Robinson. Those guys loaded up on the targets and the touches this past season, and Whittington did too when he was on the field. There were games where, you know, maybe he wasn't used just right, or maybe his usage was limited, but, man, he's such a versatile piece. But if you're Sark, man, you can't depend on him to be there the whole way. That just is what it is at this point. That might sound harsh, but, hey, Mack Brown once upon a time said the same thing about Bo Scaife. Mack Brown once upon a time said the same thing about Jordan Shipley. Both of those guys turned out okay, but you accumulate enough of an injury history. At this point for Jordan Whittington, his best ability needs to be his availability. But you got Whittington, you got Troy O'Meary, who's yet to play a down at Texas, even though everybody's excited about him, and for good reason. When you look at the physical tools, he's yet to play a down. Marcus Washington got some run last year, but didn't quite take off, I think, the way the staff probably hoped he would. Same for Kelvonte Dixon. So you need firepower on offense. You can't just put all your eggs in the basket of, okay, you got Bijan Robinson and you got Xavier Worthy. We've seen it at Texas far too many times where putting your eggs in those baskets goes wrong. So Texas looking to add Isaiah Nayer, the Wyoming transfer. Again, his numbers last year for Wyoming this past season in 2020, 44 catches, 878 yards, 12 touchdown receptions for Isaiah Nayer, an Arlington Lamar product. He's from the Metroplex. Snoop, you're not quite. You were not quite. DeSoto's not in that 287 corridor.
No. That's like,
you're South Dallas.
Correct. I'm like, yes, I'm closer to Oak Cliff, Duncanville, DeSoto, Lancaster, Cedar Hill. That's
it all, like, it's really weird. Like, you know, kids that live in that area can end up going to, you can live in one part and you can end up going to DeSoto or Red Oak or Lancaster,
yes,
or wherever. Did your parents ever threaten to send you to private school?
I did for a while when because I used to live right
Bishop,
next.
Bishop Dunn's right over there.
I used to live right next to the state fair. And I, you know.
Oh, out at Fair Park? I got you.
For, okay. for 2 years, where like a lot of nights we'd have to sleep on the floor because they would be shooting every night.
So is this like when you were first adopted or was this later?
No. This is when I was in junior high.
Okay.
And they sent me to Brook Hollow Christian, way like 30, 40 minutes away. Like,
dang.
Because if I don't know, like, maybe I've got my butt beat in school because I'm a nerd. That's probably why. I mean, for real, like, I was, you know, anyway, I came out okay.
You did.
I came out okay.
But was private school used as a threat? I love what Golf Lingo said on the text line there. It's like you live a real life. It's like you lived Footloose. That was your life growing up. Even though we kid Snoop, we jest, but.
I went to alternative schools for talking in class. They would send me to...
For talking in class?
Yeah. Isn't that kind of weird? Now that I look back at it, somebody else said the same thing. They're like, that seems harsh. They would send me to, like, in-school suspension because I was talking too much.
Man.
Where I had to be, like, two walls on the side of me, and I read, like, every Beverly Cleary and Judy Blume book ever. I did.
You can take me through the Judy Blume catalog.
I mean, just hours in that stupid isolation. Anyway.
That's terrible, Snoop.
Yeah, Cedar Hill, screw you.
Hey, I think, though, in your life since, you've made up for it with some good times.
Oh.
Probably some times that were worthy of you going to alternative school or in-school suspension. Am I right about that?
Right, I guess so. I don't know. I never did anything bad. I never got into fights. I stole candy one time. So I did go to.
Who'd you steal candy from?
The teacher. And I got it during recess, like everybody was at recess. I'm just like, true confessions. Anyway, enough about me.
Okay.
But those Reese's were so good, the butter cups. And they knew I did it because all the wrappers were right underneath my desk. They're like, who took the Reese's? I'm like, I didn't. So anyway, all right. Sorry, Horn fans.
No, I just didn't know if you want to further incriminate yourself.
No.
So.
What is that?
Okay. So you're getting a visit from Aaron Hogan. What's up, E? Okay, I don't know if you wanted to hang out or what.
His son is listening right now.
Nolan Hogan's
Nolan
listening?
Nolan just texted me. He was talking about his friend getting tased, not him, but I was talking about getting tased.
Who are your kids hanging around with that they got friends getting tased at this age?
Oh, no.
No, he didn't.
You never know.
Yeah. Nolan, you said like Nolan loves thrill. Like, he likes to go skydiving. He likes to go to, like, big concerts in L.A. That's good, man. I wish I had... That adventure is at his age, but that's that said Hogan Jane of greatness or try to reach that level.
E, we were talking about
Nolan.
About Gary Patterson and Texas transfers, and then we got into Snoop's nefarious activity that landed him in alternative school. I don't know how we made that segue in
Love
the
that.
Segment.
Well, that'll happen. Probably more. That alternative school sounds like a better conversation than even the transfers.
Yeah. Yeah, they put me in there in ISS or whatever, and I went, and I was with, like, older kids. I don't know what they were trying to do to me.
That sounds like, you might have got profiled, Snoop. I think that's what that deal was, man.
Yeah, well, you know.
Talking.
I've heard, my wife's an educator, that, I know yours is too, Jeff.
Yeah.
Some kids do better in the ISS because they get all their work done, and
yes.
they don't bounce from class to class, and... you know, a lot of kids end up in there and kind of prefer it for the learning because everybody learns differently. Everybody thrives in a learning environment that's not the same as somebody else. So sometimes that does help. And there's older kids there, too, a lot of times.
Yeah, I was in fifth grade, and all those kids were, like, in junior high.
You'll agree
with
me on this.
It's like the Breakfast Club for you.
Yeah.
To be an educator in these days, you've got to have, like, the patience of Job if you're going to be in the education field right now.
Oh, there's no question.
From the Bible?
Yeah, from the Bible.
Yeah. Didn't think I'd drop reference today, did you, Snoop?
I saw where the AISD superintendent was teaching a class yesterday because there is such a shortage of actual teachers. So she was down. My wife's done that. She's the director of special services in Dripping Springs. She's had to jump in and run a class just because
My wife is the principal, and she's having to do the same.
Yeah.
It's all hands on deck right now.
Hayes Consolidated ISD put out tweets asking parents to volunteer to teach in class.
Hey, E, real quick, since you're in here, I want to get your take on this. We talked a little bit about Gary Patterson. We talked a lot of Gary Patterson yesterday. He's in the Texas staff directory now, so no press release, but that's official. But the wide receiver position at Texas, I've been saying Texas needs to add a transfer portal body at that position, maybe more than any other on the roster, to get something to go with Xavier Worthy, to where you're not reliant on Jordan Whittington, who hasn't been dependable to be on the field. I just don't know where you're at with this Texas receiver position right now, because it looks like the momentum is building that they might land Isaiah Nayer, the transfer from Wyoming.
Is that true? Because I know he committed to Tennessee. That's a weird deal. Like, classes start at Tennessee next week.
He apparently has already withdrawn from Tennessee, whatever started the process.
That's a start, because I think if you're following it, you've watched the film, because in the portal, you can go watch these guys play. You can go watch him play at Wyoming. Looks like a good player. Great body control. 6'3" guy. That's a bigger guy to lean. But he's from Arlington, right? So he's got
Arlington
Texas ties. Maybe get, you know, I've spent some time in Wyoming. Get the heck back to Texas. It's cold up there. But no, that would be huge. And yeah, I mean, it's a big question mark. You have a freshman All-American in Xavier Worthy, and you build around that. I'm a big Jordan Whittington fan, but we know his injury issues and. You know, we know there are guys like that. Maybe this is he's been through all that. Jordan Shipley jumps to mind of a guy that
Bo Scaife,
and once they finally found good health, they flourished, and Jordan has shown that potential. And then there's Troy O'Meary, right? Troy O'Meary's still on this roster. He's one of those I don't want to say wives' tale, but he's been a mythical figure that we've never really seen, but we've heard a lot about.
Not Desmond Harrison levels of Sasquatch, but approaching it.
Yeah, he's there. Marcus Washington is there, who you like. Kelvonte Dixon is a guy that they could develop. So there's the young guys that need to develop, and that's where Brennan Marion, the new wide receivers coach, comes in. It needs to be a part of that. And then the question is, Jahleel Billingsley at 6'3", 240, is he going to be a tight end or is he a big receiver?
You can play him all over the field. I mean, I looked at it from Pro Football Focus. If you look at his snap counts the last 2 years in 2020 with Sark, 66 snaps in the slot, 23 out wide, 86 as an inline tight end this past season, 101 in the slot. And this is in a Bill O'Brien offense, 101 in the slot, 51 out wide, and 166 as an inline tight end.
Yeah. Well,
you can do a lot of different things with him.
Almost like even bigger little Jordan Humphrey mindset with, I know that was Tom Herman's MO, but Steve Sarkisian needs weapons. He needs guys that defense coordinators have to plan for and create the matchups he wants. Another name, and I know this was a much talked about conversation during the 5-7 season, but Keelan Robinson, I know he's a running back and maybe his hands aren't the best. Well, develop him, get him on the jugs gun, because I just feel like if that guy can be on the field, the speed and the explosiveness we saw in the minimal time we got to see him is special. I mean, that's a special player. Can you use him, in a Deebo Samuel kind of role or Tyreek Hill kind of role where he's a receiver? But man, it's a lot of the end around stuff. It's jet sweeps. It's space plays for him, and with a creative mind like Steve Sarkisian. I think the more of those type of players who challenge a defense, scare a defensive coordinator, will make this offense all the more successful.
Yeah, and I think with Brennan Marion bringing in the principles of his go-go offense, where it's a lot of two tailback stuff, I think you maximize that position.
Yeah,
and Bijan Robinson's versatile enough to where you can use him in multiple roles. I think the same thing to an extent for Roschon Johnson. You could have two tailbacks, three tailbacks on the field at the same time if you want to. Snoop, do need a breaking news sounder though. E, we were just talking about this.
Breaking news.
It is official. Isaiah Nayer just tweeted out, signed, let's get it, with a graphic that he has committed to the University of Texas. So a short-lived tenure as a Tennessee commit, but Isaiah Nayer, the Wyoming transfer wide receiver.
Big deal.
Originally from Arlington Lamar, went to Wyoming, 44 catches last year, 12 touchdown receptions. He is headed to the University of Texas. So we'll see for Texas to get that paperwork processed, make it official. But Isaiah Nayer joining Jahlil Billingsley and helping Steve Sarkisian beef up that offense. We'll take your comments about that on the Specs text line, 337-3776. Come back. Inconceivable is going to close out hour number one. E, thanks for hanging out for a couple of minutes.
Absolutely.
Aaron Hogan joining us here. We'll be back. Inconceivable to close out hour number one here on Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
RBKD.
Look at Robin Kraft. Right. I mean, he went for at your local juke joint, and that was just a save.
Inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Still digesting the news, in case you missed it. Isaiah Nayer, the transfer wide receiver out of Wyoming, Arlington Lamar product. He's from the state of Texas. This one moved quick. Visited Texas yesterday, has since decommitted from Tennessee, and he is now headed to the University of Texas. So, of those 33 initial counter spots that we talked about, Texas, they can add up to 33. Now, they're still going to have some guys portal out to make this work. Steve Sarkisian wouldn't be adding numbers if he didn't anticipate guys moving on at some point. But Texas had 33 initial counter spots to fill with Jahlil Billingsley and now Isaiah Nayer. They're up to 31. So, in theory, two spots left. You know, one of those for Devon Campbell, and then we'll see, you know, is Jalen Moody one of those guys? Do they look for a safety? How do the numbers work? Can they add somebody later? What about O'Shawn Mathis? That's something we'll keep tracking at Horns 24/7. But Isaiah Nayer, again, was committed to Tennessee, visited Texas yesterday. Monster year for Wyoming last year. Actually, we're looking at his Pro Football Focus grades. Graded on 82.6 overall at Pro Football Focus. 44 catches, 878 yards, and 12 touchdowns. All right, Snoop, real quick, an inconceivable story. In the spirit of Craig Way, Craig likes positive, inconceivable stories. I tend to go for more of the, you know,
nefarious,
naked man on under the influence, run around naked on a lawnmower trying to hit people with a pipe wrench, that type stuff. But this is a positive one. A pet dog who was trapped in a crevice 18 feet deep for 39 hours has been saved following an incredible rescue in South Wales. That's in the United Kingdom. The dog, named Reggie, it's a really... Can you name your dog Reggie? Like,
yeah, Reggie. Yeah, that's like, okay. I can say that.
Humanize your pet, I guess. Fell into the crevice on Wednesday while out walking with his owner. Emergency services responded quickly, but they were unable to reach Reggie. Food and drink was sent down into the crevice during the operation with hopes that Reggie would be able to access it while the emergency rescue work continued. Whether or not he could access was unknown, Wales Online said. Leah posted about the incident on Facebook with images showing emergency services working to free Reggie from the crevice. Quote, yesterday, while I was out walking my dog, blah, 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 fell in the crevice. Hours later, the dog owner updated the story with the news that Reggie has been freed and was alive and well. Quote, Reggie is out. I can't believe it, and I can't thank everyone enough. The support and help has been, I guess she meant to put in, it says, be absolutely amazing. Give love, she said in a post. Well, Reggie is in good spirits. The vet has no concerns for him. He really is a true little warrior. The love, support, and help from everyone. I can't thank you all enough. We are overwhelmed. Dog falls down a crevice. 39 hours later, he comes up alive.
That's too long.
That is too long. Poor buddy. Feel bad. We get a lot of dog interaction here in the building with Wade
running
around. I
actually pictured Wade down in the crevice.
Oh, no.
That makes me
sad. Yeah, when I grabbed that taco yesterday, Wade was eyeballing me. I was like, sorry, buddy, this is
he mine. Will drool.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
But you just have to, I've learned if you just tell Wade, dog. And you're kind of, not to be even stern with him, just make your point known. He's very intuitive, dog, Wade is. All right, that's going to do it for hour number one. Hour number two coming up next here on Light the Tower, on the Horn, live, local, and digital, on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Remember, when you're feeling down, when you're having one of those days, there's always...